Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Ip et al. Titled, Tobacco and Electronic Cigarettes Adversely Impact ECG Indices of Ventricular Repolarization, Implication for Sudden Death Risk. This article was published April 21st, 2020. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nisha Charkoudian, Lead Author Holly Middlecoff, and Expert Marmar Vasegi. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. We all know that smoking is bad for us. And one of the many documented adverse effects is an increase in the risk of sudden cardiac death, which appears to be linked to changes in ventricular repolarization. Although cigarette smoking has become less common in many parts of the U.S. population in recent years, an unfortunate trend, often in younger people, is the increased use of electronic cigarettes. Many people think that the electronic cigarettes are safer, often for reasons related to vague claims in the e-cigarette marketing. In the study we're going to discuss today, Ip and colleagues evaluated the effect of e-cigarette and tobacco cigarette smoking on the electrocardiogram, in particular as related to ventricular repolarization, as this is related to the risk for sudden cardiac death. Holly, could you start us off by summarizing your study for us and telling us why you and your colleagues decided to perform this particular analysis?
Nisha, thank you. Well, one of the other interesting things about sudden death risk associated with tobacco cigarette smoking is that soon after somebody quits, the risk of sudden death and cardiac death actually decreases back to a non-smoker. You know, it starts very quickly. And the other interesting thing about sudden death risk is that it's not related to the smoking burden. So if somebody smokes 1 to 3 cigarettes a day, the risk of cardiovascular death and sudden death is as if somebody smokes 1 to 3 packs a day. So this has led people to believe that there's something in tobacco cigarette smoke that works like an acute toxin. And the most likely thing has been postulated to be nicotine. And there are reasons to think this, is nicotine has some adverse effects on ion channels in the heart. Well, as you say, electronic cigarettes have been marketed as being less harmful than tobacco cigarettes because they have fewer toxicants. But the interesting thing is that nicotine levels in people who use electronic cigarettes very similar to the nicotine levels in people who use tobacco cigarettes. And so that led us to ask the question, well, is the sudden death risk, or at least the markers, potential markers for sudden death risk, any different in somebody who uses an electronic cigarette compared to somebody who smokes a tobacco cigarette? And the markers that we looked at were intervals on the electrocardiogram that had been related to sudden death. A traditional interval on the electrocardiogram is something called the QT interval, but it may lack sensitivity because it incorporates both ventricular depolarization as well as repolarization. It's really the repolarization part that's important. So we looked at a newer indices called the TPE interval, peak to end of the T wave, and a couple other outcomes. And we looked at these indices just at rest when they come into our lab having refrained from smoking that day. Their mean age is about 27. They didn't take medications. They didn't have any other cardiac diseases or any other diseases at all. So a healthy group, and they were also screened for cannabis use. And so we looked at baseline at these parameters and found that there were no differences between the tobacco cigarette smokers, electronic cigarette vapors, and the non-smokers, just at baseline on these biomarkers for sudden death risk. And then we had our groups acutely smoke. We had our tobacco cigarette smokers smoke a tobacco cigarette, their own brand. We also had them come in on a different day and use a straw just as a time control. And we had our electronic cigarette vapors come in, and they used electronic cigarette or a straw. And they used an electronic cigarette one time with nicotine and then another day without nicotine. And then we compared these three outcomes in those two groups. And we found, first of all, that the increase in nicotine after the acute smoking or vaping was the same between the tobacco cigarette smokers and the electronic cigarette vapors. And we found that our three ECG indices were all markedly or all significantly prolonged after using the tobacco cigarette compared to the straw. But in the electronic cigarette users, only one of the three indices was abnormal. and it was only abnormal after they used the electronic cigarette with nicotine. And we found that the abnormalities caused by smoking the tobacco cigarette were significantly greater in two of the three outcomes compared to the electronic cigarette vapors after they used the electronic cigarette with nicotine. And this is despite having similar levels, similar increases in nicotine after these acute exposures. So we concluded that although the electronic cigarette users also had a change in these parameters, it was only in one of the three parameters, and it was these parameters were significantly less. They prolonged significantly less than after using a tobacco cigarette. So that made us think that although electronic cigarettes are not harmless, absolutely, this may be evidence that they may be less harmful than smoking tobacco cigarettes.
Thanks, Holly. That's very helpful to think through your complex study design and results. For people like myself who get confused about the various types of electronic cigarettes that exist, is this the cigarettes that you studied, would that be the same as what people call vaping?
Absolutely. Electronic cigarette using and vaping, they're different words for the same process. I should say, though, that now the vast majority of people use the Juul brand or Juul-like device, which is a pod-like device that looks physically like a flash drive, for example, which is different from the pen-like devices or the cig-like devices, the older devices. But that's not the only difference. There is a much more important difference between these pod-like devices, the Juul and other these kind of later generation electronic cigarettes or vapes. And that difference is that the nicotine is now in nicotine salts. What that means chemically is that when the user inhales the nicotine salts delivered by a Juul, the particle size is small enough, it reaches the alveolus and is absorbed in alveolar blood and then immediately goes to the brain. So there's within 30 seconds, just like a tobacco cigarette, there's an immediate sort of rush in nicotine and the blood levels increase much more quickly with these newer devices compared to the older devices. So they're more addictive, they're similar to tobacco cigarette delivery of nicotine. And this is important because the rate of delivery of nicotine may be very important in the physiologic effects. Our study was using electrocardiogram recordings from 2015 through 2018, really before the Juul hit the market. And so we didn't study the Juul. So we don't really know if these findings of lesser impact on the electrocardiogram apply to the Juul. And again, that's important because the vast majority of vapers or electronic cigarette users today use the Juul or a similar pod-like device with this alveolar delivery of nicotine.
Thanks for clarifying those important points. And I just know anecdotally from my kids in high school that Juul is everywhere, and I don't really know that much about it, but it certainly seems to be very common. So thank you for those clarifications. Marmar, I'd like to turn to you now and ask you from your perspective as a clinician scientist, what were the important take-home messages for you from this study?
Thanks, Nisha. So really, there are several important, I think, factors and messages from the study that we should take home with us. One is that tobacco users had changes in ECG indices of ventricular repolarization that are in line with those that we observe in patient populations who we know are at increased risk of sudden cardiac death, such as arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and Brugada syndrome. These are patients that we often implant with defibrillators because of their risk of sudden cardiac death. So to show that the ventricular repolarization indices with the tobacco cigarette is really in line with and just as much as a patient that comes in with a non-modifiable risk factor, or genetic risk factor for sudden cardiac death, I think was striking. The other message, I think, is that e-cigarettes achieve similar nicotine levels, which is beautifully what Holly has shown. And although their effect on most of the ECG indices were certainly less than tobacco cigarette, they were still sort of at the lower spectrum of patient populations at increased risk of sudden cardiac death, which I think is an important point. And what Holly and colleagues have done beautifully is that they have isolated potentially the effect of nicotine itself from the effect of tobacco cigarette constituents, which also seem to increase the sudden cardiac death. And then the other thing I just want to add is I think the authors should really be commended because they really came up with a robust inclusion and exclusion criteria by excluding patient populations that we know have disease processes such as diabetes and hypertension that can affect autonomic indices, including those observed on ECGs. They've really helped us truly understand the effect of tobacco smoke and e-cigarettes on ECG ventricular indices of repolarization and the increased risk of sudden cardiac death associated with it.
Great. Thank you so much, Marmar. And I'll just ask a follow-up question along those lines. Do you think that if you saw a patient who had other risk factors or who indeed at baseline already had some of these changes in ventricular repolarization, do you think those effects would be additive in your experience with cigarette smoking or e-cigarette smoking?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that some of the changes that we're seeing with T-peak TN interval are often changes we see, for example, in patients with channelopathies, right? Long QT syndrome. And so I would expect that now smoking either e-cigarettes or tobacco would increase the risk even further.
Holly, I wanted to ask you what your observations have been. You mentioned a little bit about this earlier with regard to trends in smoking or nicotine use and cardiovascular health.
Well, tobacco and cigarette smoking has never been lower in the United States, and it's never been lower amongst high school kids. So it's, you know, at an all-time low. But the huge concern is that electronic cigarette use has been called an epidemic, and the proportion of high school kids that report using electronic cigarettes or vaping in the last month, it's almost 30%, 30% of high school kids. So this is a huge problem, and one just hopes that it's a trend and it'll pass. But what we can say is that high school kids, many more are using electronic cigarettes than would ever have smoked before, because smoking rates have, you know, not been 30% in high school kids, I don't think ever. And I think it's because they believe that they're harmless. And the other important thing I think is that electronic cigarettes have been called a gateway to tobacco cigarettes, and I really don't think the evidence is there to support that. Because again, if electronic cigarettes were a gateway to tobacco cigarettes, we would see tobacco cigarette smoking increasing, but it's not.
Marmar, I'd like to turn it back to you and ask you, what are some other important big picture aspects of this issue, sort of smoking, tobacco, nicotine, cardiovascular health, that you wish were appreciated by more of the population?
So some of the bigger aspects of this issue that I feel are not really appreciated by the population is I don't really think that the average teenager out there understands their increased risk of sudden cardiac death when they pick up either a tobacco cigarette or an e-cigarette. And so that information is really not out there. There's, you know, commercials and publicity around, even by, let's say, healthcare providers on, you know, how it may affect your brain or how it may affect your mood. But the fact that it can actually cause you to die suddenly is a message that we really need to get out there. The other concern, and I think important aspect of this study that, you know, potentially leads to further studies, is the effect of Juul itself. Because as Holly pointed out beautifully, kids aren't just using this because it's cool. They're actually getting hooked because of the potentially more rapid rise of nicotine levels in their bloodstream, but also the flavors that are vastly popular among teenagers. And so the fact that that rapid delivery of nicotine into the system of teenagers, right, and its effect on sudden cardiac death and risk and ventricular repolarization, we need to further delineate.
I think we'll just maybe finish by asking Holly, if you have any additional thoughts about next steps your own laboratory would like to take or other important things that you'd like to see happen in this area of research.
Well, we are now studying the Juul on ECG indices of repolarization. That definitely is an important research question that needs to be answered. And also in this study, we just looked at two of the electrocardiogram leads, lead two and V1 for the most part, as representative of abnormal repolarization. But now we have a system to measure all 12 leads of the electrocardiogram and looking at changes in the TPE interval and these other indices, ECG indices of repolarization, and to see if there are certain leads that are more sensitive. And because when we looked in the literature, you know, there is a literature on TPE and these indices, as Marmar was saying, and arrhythmogenic right ventricular dysplasia, sleep apnea, populations with sudden death, but there's no consensus which leads are actually most sensitive, the best leads to record. and nobody's ever actually looked at that. So we're actually kind of taking a step back and recording all 12 leads and making a comparison. And just as a little teaser, we are finding differences, and there's definitely preferred leads to get the information.
Very interesting. And I think that will be very helpful, not only for your own research, but for a lot of labs that look at this kind of question. So that's really exciting. We'll look forward to that future research. So I'd like to thank Holly Middlecoff and Marmar Vasegi for joining us today for this AJP Heart podcast. Kara, back to you.
Thanks for listening. Would you like to hear more? Visit the AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology homepage for our latest episodes.